Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your host and your engineer for tonight's show, The Science of Health and Youth. We'd like to welcome you all to IWM Blog Talk Radio tonight. We have some very special programs that will be taking place throughout the week, and we'll share those with you as we move forward. But more importantly, we just want to share with you this particular program that's on every single Tuesday from 6 o'clock Central Standard Time until 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The show is The Science of Health and You. And we want to welcome you to the show tonight. And our focus for this month has been mental health. And as we look around in our communities today and just look at what's taking place in the world today, you know, there is a mental health issue that needs to be addressed. And we work very hard here on IWGM Radio on the science of health, and you to bring you what we call truth, unblemished, unadulterated information that makes you a better person, makes you put you in a situation where you understand yourself a little bit more. And then we have to recognize also that we have to accept this one thing. If we can all do this one thing, we're going to have a great show tonight. Let's accept the fact that none of us are well. Hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to say, no matter what your religious belief, whether you be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or whatever it may be. None of us are well. We have so many different conditions to concern ourselves with, whether it be mental conditions, physical conditions, economic conditions, political conditions, social, culture, identity problems, whatever it may be. But we do know one thing. Aggregately, there's something wrong in our community. We try to address that here through trauma education, root-based therapeutics, information that could be beneficial to you, that you could put in your wellness toolbox, because we all need a wellness toolbox. We need to draw from something when something is going wrong in our lives. We know our emotional lives, the vicissitudes of life, all these things take place every single day in our lives between trauma and stress and grief and worry, misinformation, disinformation, financial information. It just goes on and on and on and on. Sometimes we have to just sit back and take it easy and let this Tuesday be your get sit back day. Get your head all right, relax, and know that you're going to get truth, truth, and more truth to get a better understanding of what's taking place. So as we all know, this is that someone has given us, and I don't even want to use the word because the word makes this offends me to say what I want to say about it. So we have made a determination here on IWM Radio, as well as we're going to put information out to the general population. We're going to change this name ourselves. And those of you who are on the line, each and every last one of you have friends and relatives. You have databases on your Gmail, email, whatever you may have. And you can start this whole process right now. This is the African American Heritage Month. And we like to refer to it as African American Heritage New Year, the Renaissance of Black History Month. I had to get that word out. I'm sorry, guys. I don't like it. But we had to get it out just to make sure people are going to understand, because these labels have been on us for years in this country. You know, everybody puts a label on something just to distinguish it from something else. And all we are is human beings. We're just human beings, ladies and gentlemen. We're not this. We're not that. You can put labels on, names on, whatever you want to put it on. But when it's all said and done, you are a human being. And other people in this world are human beings as well. So we have to look at it from that perspective, and maybe we'll get a different retrofitting that takes place in our thinking process, because we know one thing about words. Words make people. So we want to set some standards here today for those of you who are on the Internet. You can't speak. If you have a question, if you get triggered on the line, you want to say something, and your phone won't allow you to call in without charging, take a couple minutes and pay the little 10 cents a minute or whatever it is and call in and ask your question. What we want to have you call in to is 714-816-4673. That is 714-816-4673. Or if you can't afford to call in on that number, you can always call in on my phone number. We have a special phone number we leave available for our listening audience, for our learners. It's 650-669-0458. You can text me, and I will take your text and ask the question if you may have a question during the course of our program. And once again, 650-669-0458. We know one thing for sure. You will be triggered tonight. We know one thing, that your whole chemical makeup is going to be transformed in some shape, form, or fashion. It's going to be for the betterment of who you are, what you are. So we are into the African-American Heritage New Year, and we want to kind of mix it up a little bit here. I know we get on a lot of times, and we talk about a lot of medical technology. And sometimes that may be overwhelming to some of you guys, you know, because I know one thing, as much information I get on Tuesday, it takes me a little bit more than a week just to process one week, because there's so much information to be talked about. There's so much about us that we need to know and how our bodies work. And this is something that we need to concentrate on, how our bodies and our mind, our thinking process takes place. We walk around with these bodies 24/7. If I ask each one of you a question, which one of the 200 cell types in your body that you know? Can you name five? Can you name three? 200 cell types are in your human makeup. And then we have 75 to 100 trillion cells that make us up, along with 11 systems that we don't even know anything about or how they work and how they function. So tonight, since we're dealing with mental health, and we do know mental health has a lot to do with physical health, and we do all that has to do with political and educational and social health. This health thing is financial health. It goes a long, long way. So don't be subjected to thinking that we're always going to get medical terms on you all the time. Health is health, and it's covered in almost every field that we can think of. Every single field, whether it be finance, whether it be education, we want to make sure those deformities that have taken place in our lives, we inform you so you can transform yourself. You know, we have to face this. And all we're going to face is we're going to have to trace what happened to us. We're going to have to look at things in a different way, because if we want to erase it so we can replace it, it's going to take education. So this is your classroom. This is your educational lab on Tuesday. We do a lot of retrofitting here. We talk about things about different knowledge, different languages, different beliefs that have a lot to do with your ability to function. So we want you to kick back. And while I'm doing this brief introduction, before I bring our special guest on tonight, pick up your telephone, get on the internet, text somebody, call somebody, three-way somebody, and get your fireside chat ready to go. Just kick back and put your phone on the table, bring your children in the room, and just listen tonight. Let's educate ourselves tonight about our community. The state of the African-American community is in bad shape. No matter who you are, no matter what you say you believe in, you cannot deny this one particular thing, that something's wrong in our community. 64% of our children are in single-family homes. Why? Why are we behind in almost every aspect of life, economically, politically, educationally, socially, culturally? We are behind everything and everybody. We are the only ones who cannot identify ourselves. So we're going to delve into that the rest of this month. We're going to delve into our disposition, our behavior, and we're going to talk about a few things that are really, really important to us. That's our human makeup, our physical makeup, and we're going to talk about mental makeup all month long. And we do know this health issue is broad. How deep is the rabbit hole on health? What does it feel like to feel good? Ask yourself that question. What really, if I had to define what it feels like to feel good, what would I say? If I had to look in the mirror and look at myself, are you happy with what you see? You walk around with cranky bones. We walk around with joint pain here. We walk around with all kinds of issues. Are you taking medication? You know, do you understand the medication that you take? This is why we're here, to know that all this has a relationship with your mental capacities, your mental thinking, and historically, we're behind the times when it comes to our health care. So we don't want to call it health care here. We call it self-care. Can you develop your own personal health plan? Can you develop your own personal life plan? Can you develop your own personal financial plan? These are things that you can learn. Get your pen, get your pad out, and we want you to be able to take notes. And also remember, if you got a link from me, whether it be text, whether it be email, there's a link on there that is the recording for tonight's show. So you can always go back and what you missed, because we're going to say a lot of things tonight. And you can't remember everything, and you sure can't take notes that fast as we speak. You'll be able to go back and take your time and go to your recording and listen again. So we're going to talk about the community of self. And I like to refer to it as a community of cells. We're going to talk about some of my historical individuals in our past and what they said and what they've done for us. And at the same time, it's our opportunity to recognize our past, our Carter G. Woodsons, our Booker T. Washington, our George Washington Carver, the C.T. Vivian, you know, Malcolm X, you know, Muhammad Ali, Noble Drew Ali, Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth. It goes on and on and on and on, the history of who we are. And I tell you, most of our children today, because I talk to children all the time, I mention these names to them, they don't know the world I'm talking about. And that's shameful that we don't know our past, our history. And we're going to talk about that today and some of the problems that we have with that today. So I'm going to make just a few announcements. I'm just going to read a few quotes from some books here. And I'm going to bring on our guest. You know, and our guest tonight is Shahid Abdullah, the author of his new book called Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. Mr. Abdullah has a bachelor's degree in a bachelor's of arts degree in sociology, art, and education. He resides in New Jersey, where he created his new line of men's fashion. He combines his artistic capacity with several years of extensive research in history to tell the story of the self-sufficient spirit and the innate quality of African Americans. This book is such a powerful book, and what he has to say to us tonight is such a powerful piece of information. And get your pad out, get your pen and pencil ready to go, because he's going to capture you with fascinating, intriguing stories of the African American family as we have evolved during this golden era of our life that we call the African Americans of African descent. We want to talk about tonight. So let me read a few quotes, and I just hope you bear with me, because I do want to read one thing from his book that I just can't let go. I can't let it go. It's just so impacted to me. It has done such a phenomenal job on me that I can't let it go. So real quickly, I just want to read a few quotes that we need to know about. Senate Document 264, we talk about that a lot here on our show, where it says to us that the soil in our country is depleted of all its nutrition. Therefore, when you grow a crop, the crops are sick because they don't have proper nutrition in the soil to grow a proper crop. And we do know about GMO seeds and the type of thing that takes place. So if we have sick soil, we have sick plants, then our animals eat these particular plants. So now we have sick animals, sick soil, sick people, sick soil, sick people. I want you to keep in mind what I just said to you. Sick soil, sick plants, sick animals, sick people. We have some issues to be concerned about, some issues that we should really, really, truly be concerned about and get a good understanding that we try to format this plan on who we are and what we are. Just keep in mind, these things are our nutritional ability to think and process information, being able to get the nutrients from the food that we eat. So, like I said before, we're not going to really get into too much food talk tonight, but everything automatically is going to go right back to it, whether we like it or not. I want to read another quote. It says, American slaves achieving a mental makeover will be difficult because of our innate racial unawareness and the divisiveness that we inherited. Nonetheless, a restructuring is necessary for our survival. That comes from Morris Shelton, one of our historians who wrote a book on America's Little Black Book. I want to read another quote to you before I tell you our last book that we're going to read from. This book is of the loss of self-knowledge during the slavery time. We had no way of knowing that we were people of great accomplishments, power, and dignity. We had no way of knowing that our forefathers were authors of civilization, science, and technology. We had no way of knowing that our condition in America represented a fall from a power rather than a divinely decreed state. We had no way of knowing that we had the right to control our communities, the right to control our families, our economics, our institutions, just like the so-called slave master. And that's what I'm going to call them, the so-called slave master. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring to you our author of Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture, and my co-host, Shahid, are you on the phone? Let me see here. We got, could you push one on your phone? Those are Brother Shahid, and also Brother Imam, could you push one on your phone so I can recognize you in the queue? And that way I know who's who and what's what. And we want those of you who are on the telephone, we're going to give a brief introduction of our guest. We want to allow him to speak. He's going to be here for a minute, so we're going to take a little break in the middle. If you have questions, please raise your hand now. If I tweak you, just hang on for a minute because you haven't got tweaked yet. You haven't got triggered yet until you hear some of the things that we need to, you're going to hear tonight. So, Brother Shahid, my host, are you there?
Shahid, yes, I'm right there.
Okay, put press one on your phone if you don't mind. Now we all have your mic open and so forth and so on. So we're going to get started. And before we get started, since this is African American Heritage New Year, we're going to talk about culture and our mental condition around culture. But I have to do this, so just bear with me just a few more minutes. It won't take me long to say this. The definition of the word culture. Now, if anybody on the line knows the definition of culture, I want you to push one right now because we want to hear what you have to say. But I'm going to give you the definition of culture by our author. After careful research, and you need to hear this, I just wanted to take my time and say it, so just bear with me just for a minute. It says, this is the first part of the book, culture is a distinct social system that is the cumulative deposit of our knowledge, our language, our experiences, our beliefs, our values, our attitudes, the meaning, the hierarchies, religion, a notion of time, concepts of the universe. This is the definition of our culture. And culture is the womb that gives birth to its people and puts them on the path of prosperity. I need not say anymore. I need not say any more. I'd like to bring to you tonight the author of Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. And this gripping narrative about the African-American culture is woven into a suspense, hidden layers of deception, and locked in a system of distorted history. We'd like to welcome you today, Imam Shahid Abdullah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. How is the brother doing today?
I'm doing phenomenal, man. After reading that part on culture, I'm elevated. I'm what they say, as Dr. Guy say, I'm ignited and excited. So the mic is yours for a few minutes, my brother. So just introduce yourself and share with the radio listening audience on the science of helping you. The mic is yours.
Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum and peace be to you all, to your audience. And friends and relatives. My name is Shahid Abdullah, and I am the African Balalian American griot. I tell the stories as a griot. I tell the stories in terms of written stories, oral stories about the African American people and all of the things that affect us from our beginning and to our present. And I'm, as Brother Rashid mentioned, and I thank him again. I thank you all for giving me the opportunity to be here and talk about some of the things I've found out and was blessed with, and to relate them to you. I've been a student of Imam Muhammad. I've been went to Winston-Salem State College in North Carolina and graduated in Union from Kane University. I've been teaching and also into finance, dealt with as a financial planner. I've been many years gathering information and experience. And in that gathering of information and experience, I found there were some very important aspects about life that we need to know, not just as a human being. There's a slight difference between a human being and a race of people. The difference is slight in terms of genetically speaking, but it is humongous in terms of how we identify one another and how we see each other. We can go from a person who's from China all the way down to a person who may be from Africa. We may have different complexions, different hair tone, different nose configuration, different eye colors. All of these things are differences. And these differences are the human being accumulated over a period of time, and especially from areas in which they spent maybe 1,000 years or more gathering the genetic components necessary we get from what Brother Rashid was talking about a little earlier, what comes out the earth, the food. Food makes a difference because it builds the genetic makeup of the human being, and that accounts for our difference. And it accounts for our difference as a accounts for our difference too about how we may see or view the world. It may not be as relevant as it might be when we look a little bit at culture, as Brother Rashid was explaining. When you look a little bit at culture, you see that it does make a huge difference. And that huge difference sometimes aids the people of that culture, and sometimes it holds them back, depending upon how their culture was formed. As African-American people here in America, as you know, we had gone through a situation that the European financial planners, European-American financial planners established in America to gain some wealth they could take back to Europe and build up Europe. We, as African-American people, underwent their discovery of how they can build a better Europe from getting the food and things they needed necessary from other countries and other parts of the world. And as a result of that effort of theirs to us, meaning the African-American people, into a new kind of development. Before that happened in America with the European, the African pretty much were a group of humanity that had their identity. You had from the Igbos to the Flaunes, you had West Coast, East Coast. The Africans all had different tribal designations and different origins from that part of the land that they were in. But what happened here in America was something very unique. And sometimes, I would say most times, it's seldom talked about in the form of its uniqueness. It's talked about in a negative way when presented by the European American, but there was something else happening in the course of the African American people being here in America for the 300-400 years. There's something else that occurred in the genetic change and the genetic makeup of the African as we underwent the mixing of our different cultures together, our different biological heritage together, all of the different tribes we mixed, and even we combined that genetic makeup from the sperms of the Native American and the European American. So we are a unique people. And in that uniqueness, we were blessed by the Creator to be able to create a new understanding and a new thinking that was never before on the planet Earth. Now, this thinking and people is hidden primarily by those who tell the history. They tell the history and they don't talk about the great things that this people had. They don't talk about the great achievements we made here in America. They hide that. And they hide it so that the young people will not be able to be inspired by that of their ancestors. The importance of that was brought out by one of our great writers and African-American ancestors. In his book, he said, we're talking about Carter G. Woodson, to whom this month we are appreciating, was established. He established the idea that the African-American people need to celebrate their heritage at least 1 week out of a month. And as that 1 week stretched into two, then later on some students at Kent University stretched it into the month. That's where we get the term Black History Month. It was really called Negro History Week. And then it went from that to the month. And now we are coming more into the understanding that is really not Black, is not Negro, is really African, where we originated from in terms of our footprints, and American, where we were birthed in terms of our identity with freedom, our identity with our nationality. America is where we came into existence. And what Carter G. Woodson had to say about that, he said, those who have no record of who their forebears have, what their forebears have accomplished, lose the inspiration, which comes from the teaching of biography and history. Now, that alone is a very powerful statement because of what it is saying and how he put it. He said they lose their inspiration, meaning that every people are inspired by what their forefathers and foreparents have done. But if they have no knowledge of that, they lose the inspiration, meaning that they don't have the internal will and desire to perpetuate themselves, and they don't see themselves in an honorable way. Now, when we look at the African-American here in America, we find that the European-American make us believe that we began in slavery, and then they jump from slavery to the present date, and then they say we are suffering from post-traumatic slave syndrome. They say we're suffering from different things that dealt with slavery. You see, but if had they given us the truth, we wouldn't feel as though we were suffering from anything. We are following their subliminal suggestions that they want us to follow, because they do not want us to see the reality and power that Carter G. Woodson was talking about. Having a knowledge of what your forebears have accomplished. See, that's very important, what they have accomplished. They tell us, the European would tell us that we were enslaved, they enslaved us, and we withstood the slavery. We had to go through the things they talk about, how they raped our women, castrated our men. All of these things they give us. But the thing they don't give us is this concept of accomplishments of a people, especially from a cultural aspect. There are two things that people get from their place of origin. Their place of origin produced a biological heritage, one that can't do anything about, regardless of who you are what you are physically. And second, their cultural heritage. The cultural heritage we have an opportunity to build and work and develop. All of those aspects that Brother Rashid was telling us in terms of the culture, and you can read this in the first chapter of my book, that those aspects are what inspire people, what solidifies their unique idea, concept, and views they have of themselves. The culture does that. And any time that process is disrupted or corrupted, then the people themselves become disrupted or corrupted. So we find ourselves in this day and time, in this real time, thinking of ourselves as being corrupted and disrupted. But when we look back at the reality, then we begin to see that we have been given lies, and we've been given impressions about who we are. I want to give you something to think about while we go on, and we're going to get back to this. I want to leave a number with you in terms of write it down, and we're going to talk about it. And this number deals with our existence. It's the number that caused me to look at the urgency of our awareness, the urgency of why we need to know who we are, the urgency of why we need to do something for ourselves. And the number is called a sub-replacement fertility rate. Now, I don't know if any of you have a background in terms of biology and those type of things, but you can Google sub-replacement fertility rate and find out what it is. But here's what is important for us. In 10 years, the African American sub-replacement fertility rate fell from 2.25 to 1.89. Now, the sub-replacement fertility rate is a rate that has to stay steady at 2.15. Now, I want to give you listeners some time here to just think about what they have heard just about this sub-replacement fertility rate. And those of you who have some knowledge of this, this is an easy question, and it's going to be an easy answer for you. But those who don't, it becomes a puzzling situation. And then we have to get through the puzzle, and then we have to make it a reality, and then see how the reality is related to us in terms of relevance. Is it relevant? What makes it relevant? So I want to just take a minute or so as to your listeners, if they have any questions about that. But before I give the information about that, I want to move on. We're going to come back to this. So keep this in, we're going to come back to this because it's very important that we understand why that is important, why that's so important. Now, in the book, we explain that clearly because this is a gripping narrative about the African-American culture that's woven in the suspense and hidden in layers of deception, locked in a system of distorted history. The book shows this. It peels back the layers of these layers and expose them and expose the evidence and shows how this surrounding effect is sometimes surprising information packed it with suspense and so forth and so on, and is at times disturbing, because this is one of the issues that's very disturbing. But we have to look at the reality so we can go past the disturbance of what we find out and what we see. We spoke about one of the great heroes in our community, Carter G. Woodson. But we want to look at not only Carter G. Woodson and what he has attributed, we want to look at what he said, the accomplishments of their people, the things that we, most of us, are not aware of. They don't hardly teach it in Black history, because Black history is designed to Black history out. This is his story. It's his story, how he put together his information to black out the African-American people in terms of their knowledge and understanding and their way into progress as a people. They can't progress as a people. We can progress as individuals. Some of us become millionaires and some of us become even billionaires. But as a people, we can't make progress. And that's because they have blacked out those real important aspects on what move a people for in terms of their cultural aspirations and their cultural uniqueness, their identity. They have blacked it out. And they feed this information to the African-American people, and the African-American people think they have a knowledge of themselves, somewhat of a knowledge of themselves, because in most of those courses, they teach the African-American people that they were not created as a unique group of people with a great heritage in America. They tell the story that the African-American people were broken and beaten and spirit was taken from them in America, in the slave soil, that grew in America. But they don't tell the other side of that. Like, each coin has two sides. The other side of that is that, yes, they did that to the African, but out of that beating and out of that suffering and out of that soil rose a people with a new idea and concept that can move them forward, new energy. They don't tell that story because those people proved that. And I'm going to show you something here, and I want you to think about this. In 1896, after the, we're talking about Civil War, there's many things we can learn about the Civil War also that showed this greatness of the African-American people. And after the Revolutionary War, in 1896, the Supreme Court ruled that segregation was constitutional. Now, that's very, very, very impactful now. Segregation was constitutional. They thought by not allowing the African Americans to participate in what we call the public public accommodations, they would build us little faucets on the side and while they have nice fountains on one side and say this is where the African American is to drink. And then they say this is the doorway the African American must go in. He can't come into a restroom that looks good and that type of thing. They built that. They built that concept of segregation to tear down the African-American's mind, the African-American energy to use to develop himself. The African-American doesn't, they thought, the African-American wouldn't become inspired to do for themselves. But look at this. Now, there was a book, a report done in 1932. This report they don't teach in those so-called black history courses. This report was done by a group of African-Americans. They call it the Negro Market. And it was published in interest of the Negro press. And it was done and completed in 1932. Some 32 years after the Supreme Court ruling. And in this book, they got their information from African-American newspapers and information that African-Americans had accumulated over the years. They took pictures of the neighborhoods. They took pictures of the businesses. They looked at all of the things that the African-American people were doing over that period of time in just 36 years. This is what they found that they don't tell you about. They say that the African-American people, this was written by one of the authors, Rayford W. Logan, in a section called The Isolation and Self-Sufficiency of the African Negro. He said, while the prosperity and poverty of the Negro is in conjunction with the is woven in with the general business conditions of the country, it is also clear that year in and year out, the Negro has utilized his enforced isolation to achieve the same self-sufficiency that that nations placed in similar situations have done. Now, that's not a people who's suffering. You see, that's the part they don't tell us about. We had spread in just 36 years. We had spread from the Carolinas and Georgia and Alabama all across America, all the way up to Seattle, Washington, out in California. We had built Black Wall Street. I know if you've heard that term, Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which wasn't the biggest, but it was the one they like to put forward to in our view. We had the Black Chicago in Chicago, Illinois, the Black Metropolis. They said that Black Metropolis in the south side of Chicago was so big and so developed that they called it a city within a city. Now, how is that a people suffering? That's not a people suffering. That's a people making progress. In New York, New York was just one of the towns, but nowhere near as big as some of the other towns throughout America that the African Americans had established, like Boley, Oklahoma. That was another city, the African Americans, 54 towns and cities in America. Boley had his own railroad depot, his own post office, own television, telephone stations. It had over 4 hotels, department stores. See, in that day and time, department stores were very important because if a town had department stores, that means the people didn't have to leave to go get things they wanted to use or wear or anything of that nature. We had developed a grocery chain all the way from New York down to Alabama, all the way over to Atlanta, Georgia, clear out to California, Los Angeles, California, a single grocery store line. They don't tell us about that because they don't want you to catch on what Carter G. Woodson was saying, what is so massively important, that we must learn the accomplishments of our people, and those accomplishments will inspire us to achieve more. When the European found this out, and they didn't know about this. They didn't know because the Depression and everything had covered it up. They didn't know that the African Americans had advanced bigger than Chinatown, bigger than Little Italy for the Italian people. There was no other group in America that was advancing as fast and as large as the African American people. 134 banks had over 6 to 8 airplanes. We were developing as a nation, and this is what they found out. Now, the question becomes what to do about it for the European financial predators. When they found this out, what was their choice? 1932, less than 10 years after that, they had in place, they put into place a mechanism that would dismantle segregation. They had to dismantle segregation as a rule because we already started developing schools, high schools, colleges, universities under that concept of segregation is constitutional. They wanted that separate but equal thing going on. They thought it was going to hold us back. But our foreparents, with their skills and ingenuity, science, and their will and inspiration, was growing, as the author said, like a nation, what any other nation would have done in the same situation. Some powerful information. That's in this book, The Negro Market. And this is something that they don't want us to have because they stopped producing it. They didn't produce this material. It's just that I myself, through research and through the other people recognizing I was doing research, and it came to me, my sister-in-law specifically, came to me with a book, this book, because she was had been married to my brother who passed, and they was in the antique business. And she was still going well with the business, and she bought out an estate where the people had passed, European people had passed. And she bought the state and everything in it. And there was 3 of these books in it. And she brought one to me and said, I thought you might be interested in looking at this. And, man, it just turned things upside down as to how I was viewing the American people in terms of what they gave to us from 1896 to 1932. We were a growing people. Businesses all over America. And in that same period of time, Patterson was building a car. The same time the Ford built his car and got his car on the road, so Patterson had built this car. Patterson built over 80-some cars. And then he went to building what they called, they weren't trucks, but it was light trucks, they're buses of that era. Patterson, African American, took over his father's business. Lou Foster had started a baseball a team. You heard of it, the Negro League. Now, just imagine what that could have grown into in today's market, using the same measurement you used to look at the European American growth. You would see that the African Americans wouldn't even be looking for jobs because we'd have so many jobs, people probably coming to work for us. They hid it on purpose because they knew that the words of Carter G. Woodson were true, and they're true with any people, not just us, but any people. You take the European developed America so quickly because they were sending that information to Europe that it was in a world of streets of gold and paved with gold and all of that kind of thing, inspiring the people to come and be part of this American development. Inspiration is a great tool for growth. Inspiration is what everyone uses. It's a spirit that was put into the human being by the creator of the human being to move the human being forward, to get the human being up and out and doing something. Sometimes the human being is a little stubborn, like Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? I know most of your listeners may, some of them may be students of the Bible and have some knowledge of Jonah. You remember Jonah wasn't inspired to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He wasn't being inspired. When his Lord, that he believed in, said you have to go to Nineveh and tell the people to stop cutting up. Because if they don't stop cutting up, we're going to do something about this. So Jonah, time to go. I got too much to do. He wasn't inspired. And so he got on a boat trying to think he was going to get out the deal. And the boat and the people threw him overboard because he knew he wasn't on Vonnie. He was swallowed up by a big fish. Still, he wasn't inspired. When he got to the land where Nineveh was, he sat down under a tree and went to sleep because he wasn't inspired to go until an acorn hit him on the top of the head, dropped by a bird, and got him up, and he finally said, okay, I'll go. But it's a story about inspiration. That's really what it's a story about. It shows that if you're not inspired to do something, won't anything get done. But if you are inspired, you can do a lot of things by being inspired. Just imagine if the African-American people, generally speaking, were inspired by the stories in this book called The Negro Market all over the country year after year, what kind of development do you think we would be doing in America today? There would be no way any other community would be able to keep up with us. And there's another aspect that happened during our time here that they don't like to talk about. But we'll talk about it in a minute. But this particular aspect of the African-American people is so impacted with who we are and what this means to us that everyone should have this book and read this book because it's very inspirational. They would rather keep us uninspired or keep telling us negative information like this young man who was just murdered, not just last week or so, that five African-American police officers and they're not going to get away with it, but the point is that they did it. And what we have to see is that this cruel type of behavior is not locked into the color of the skin, is the condition of the mind. So when we look at a European American, we're looking at a European American who has been conditioned to believe that he's superior, who have been conditioned to believe that the African American is inferior. And that conditioning causes him to react the way he reacts in the world. You give him a little power, he would try to use that power to keep the African-American down if he thinks the African-American is moving forward. Instinctively he'd do this. Why instinctively? Because it was socialized in his behavior. It was socialized in his behavior to make him think that he was superior. And this began right here in America. Now, I know the story of Britain. I know the story of the British. I know the story of the Roman Catholics. I know the story of how they went through the Spanish Inquisition, how all of that happened, how they made one group inferior to the other group, but that was mostly about a religious concept. They didn't use the concept that was used here in America, although the formation and this way it was put together was the same. But the difference was in America, when this concept started with the European American, this is back in the 1600s, the European American, colonial America, the European American was just like the African when it came down to slavery, indentured servants. They lived in the same quarters. There was no distinction. They were workers. The different categories of that working. The slave was at the bottom. The indentured servant had a little higher position. But the indentured servant could fall into that slave category also very easily. And what happened is that one of those European colonists was treated unfairly, he thought, by a European governor of the colony in Virginia, Berkeley. The colonist who felt he was untreated and mistreated was Bacon. Francis Bacon. Nathaniel Bacon. He felt as though Berkeley didn't give him a post that he thought he deserved as a military person in the courts of Berkeley. Berkeley shunned him. Berkeley also allowed the Doe people, which was a Native American group, to attack Bacon and his people. So Bacon united the African, the Native American, and all other European Americans, well, they were American at the time, the European colonists. They came together, Johnstown. They attacked Berkeley, burned Johnstown down to the ground. By the time they got word to England what was going on, Johnstown had been disrupted, destroyed, and at the end of that, Bacon had came down what they call consumption at that time, and he died within a year. By the time that the British got here in America, back into the colonies, Bacon had passed, but yet the people, the idea, the rebellious attitude was still all in the colonies. They had to get these people back in line. And it took them a while to do that. So the governors of the colonies came up with an idea, and they presented it to the British in hopes they would go along with it. They said, we're going to separate the people, called a divide and conquer program. What they did, they said, well, all of the European colonists called them white people. They tagged them as white people and give them special privileges to make them think they're part of us. Give them the position, the privilege of voting. Give them the privilege of carrying arms. Give them the privilege of owning land and marrying who they want. And at the same time, deny others those privileges. So this was the kind of way the British ran their governmental behaviors all over the world. In India, wherever the British were, that's the way they ran. We are British. We're better than everybody else. Therefore, we got privileges you don't have. This is the way they ran the world. So they used the colonial America for their testing ground of this concept, white people. No such thing as white people. People have a place of origin, and that place of origin defines who they are and how their culture evolves. There's no place called white. There's no place called white, no country, no anything. That was a made-up concept just to bring about a division in the working class in the colonies. And it stuck. It caught on. And the people began to live like that. And the European colonies felt as though they was better than the African, who either was an indentured servant or whether he was a slave. It make no difference what he was. It didn't make any difference whether he owned land or not. The European colonists felt as though he was better. He was better than the African American, regardless on the African hadn't become American yet. African, regardless on his status in life, regardless of whether he owned property or not, because Africans owned property, owned plantations during that time. We won't necessarily go over them now, but it just gives you an idea on what was going on. And that stuck. And from that day on, they love to call themselves white people. And they love for you to call yourself anything as long as it's not white. You can call yourself brown people. You can call yourself black. You can call yourself people of color. You can call yourself all of those things as long as it's not white people, because if you was calling yourself white people, that means you're equal. And they don't want you to be equal. They don't want you to think you're equal. They don't want you to feel you're equal. They want you to feel like you're subservient to them simply because they call themselves white people. And they wrote it into the law, into the colonial law, that this is how we would address people from now on. So now, how that occurred, it had, as it trickled down through the history of man, and then especially in America, it caused African Americans to be shot down in the street, hung in trees, simply because a group of people felt that they were better than the African simply because of the color of their skin. It was a cruel scheme. It was a cruel scheme. But it worked. Yes, even African Americans today call themselves black, not even realizing that came into play through the colonial control and development in America to make them feel inferior. Now African Americans call themselves black and try to make that superior. I'm black and I'm proud. All those emotional aspects. They make us think that way because they want us to look at ourselves emotionally. Black don't always mean bad. Black means black can mean elegant. It can mean different things, but it's certainly not a people. There's no place called black. Africa is not a country called black. Akibalon was the name they called that before the European called it Africa. But never is there a black country. You go over there, you could get with you that way, but they call themselves Nigerian or whoever they come from, whatever tribe they are, because they know the human being's dignity is linked to their place of origin. If you don't know your place of origin, you have lost your dignity. There's no dignity in a person who doesn't have a place of origin, origin amongst other people who do have a place of origin. They sort of laugh at them. You remember that story in the Bible about Noah, how Noah built this ark and the flood came and drowned the people? Now, we know there's a lot of symbolism in that. But we just want to look at this one aspect about people laughing at people about the place of origin. When the water subsided, Noah was laying on the deck of the boat, drunk, laying out. His son came and looked at him and began to laugh because he was drunk and naked. Now, the other sons came and covered him up and put a blanket across him. But that's symbolizing what? That's symbolizing a condition of people. a body of knowledge of way people respond. Noah represents a prophet. Noah represents an idea. Noah represents a culture. And what that story is saying to those who wrote it that way is saying that any people who are not, who do not have a culture is naked. And the world stands back and laughs at them. Don't you think that the world is laughing at the African American because we are running around the sands of Arabia, up and down the pyramids and all over the world trying to find out who we are and to find out who what our culture is? They're laughing at us. Because we have not embraced our culture. Our culture began right here in America. Our forefathers in 1782 chose the name African American. After they won their independence from Great Britain, they chose the name African American. This is proven in the book and document called The Capture of General Cornwallis. It was written by an African American. And he signed it as an African American.
This information is very, very important.
Why? Because it brings the sanity of the African American in a position, because now he can be inspired by his achievements of his foreparents, of his forebearers.
Okay. So we're going to take a quick break. We want to make sure we want to welcome those who come on the line. This is IWDM Radio. This is The Science of Health to You. And our guest speaker for tonight's show is Shahid Abdullah. Our focus is going to be on mental health. And on this particular show and the rest of the month as we come on, we talk about the mental health, the state of the mind of the African-American community and what went wrong. What happened to us? Not what's wrong with us. What happened to us? And Shahid Abdullah is providing us with some key tools and key information on the process by which we got to the point that we are right now. So those of you who have I got about four texts here on questions that they may have. And those of you who may have a question about what you heard so far, press one on your phone, and we're going to get those questions out before he continues to go a little bit further. We complete the first hour of our particular show, so get your time in now, get your questions in now. I know what you're hearing, most of us don't know. It's exciting information. As I shared with you earlier, these are tools and keys and resources that we need to be better people at what we do, but more importantly, why are we thinking the way we're thinking? He's sharing some valuable information on the state of our thinking process. And there's other aspects to that. He talked about food. He talks about quite a few other things. To those of you who have a question, we want you to press 1 on your phone. We got a call, and I'm going to take four of the questions I have from the Internet. Texas over here, we'll get to that. But let's take a live line right now, 317-709. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is currently open.
Yes, Dennis from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm going to do a research on the talk for the night. I take it all the way back to Egypt, Egyptology, from the times of Benjamin Banneker, and also when the artifacts were stolen out of the pyramids and taken up to Europe. Coming along in life, we have to remember, Egyptology was a sign of wisdom, the hieroglyphics. And going into the times of America, remember, it was the Moors who traveled to Europe to educate a lot of civilization, especially in European, when they showed Europeans how to clean themselves up. But also the cause of Luxor and also music. All the music that were played by Beethoven, Bach, Schubert, that was the African jazz. If you look at Beethoven, Bach is black. Music memory is the masterpiece mind. If you remember, there was just sounds of music, not words. Now, if you listen to today's society, in most doctor's office, there's just music. They call it elevated music, but it elevates the mind for you to be lost after the doctor. What should I do? Because remember, the doctor is not your mother. He's just a doctor who's practicing medicine. So when you come to health, go back to the basics from the region where you were born. Eat from the region that you want, Learn from people who are in your family line, and that is your Black history. When you hear people talk about who in your family did what, that is your Black culture. That's your Black encyclopedia, because a picture says a thousand words. In identity, when an individual look at you and tell you, you're like so-and-so, so-and-so. In my line of my history, our family goes back to Benjamin Montgomery and Isaiah T. Montgomery, who founded Mount Bible, Mississippi. His father, Benjamin, made the inverse propeller pump for the president, Confederate president, Jefferson Davis' brother, Ben Davis, on the Hurricane Bend plantation in Mississippi during a time when cotton was king. During the Revolutionary War, they ran Southerners out of the colonies because they were burning many plantations. And within that,
there were number five
Montgomery
in the country
bought plantations, but they lived on. The first time they bought the plantation, Hurricane Ben, and his brother Isaiah was the son of Benjamin, and his brother cousin Ben Green founded Mount Bayou. That was a town where it was swampland. That's the first town where Blacks could go, not to run for sheriff, but not to run for the sheriff, but run for sheriff. Later on, Teddy Roosevelt came down and said, "This is the best of the Delta." When you come to reality in this city today, when the Black Southerners came from South and came up North, the Europeans like Mr. Ford, Mr. GM, and also Chrysler, how can we get these colors out of the kitchen real fast? That's when they start doing the fast food industry with the cereal. Gave the same thing they gave the animals, cereal. Corn, livestock, first thing sold on Wall Street were livestock, slaves. Today, the food and drug industry is still number one. And so they're pointing
right,
to think.
I know you got something to say. This is the time to say it, but, you know, we have other people on the line. And
I
appreciate you. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate you. I know how it is when you get to talk about the history.
Yes,
how
sir.
It's like
always
you inspire, and I feel
that
inspiration, brother. Yes, sir.
Yes,
so, you know, if you can press one on your phone, and if you have another question later on, we'll bring you back into the queue, okay? No problem at all. Great. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay. I want to hear from Brother Abdul. You know, I know you've been listening. I know some of the things that have been said ties right into some of the healthcare information we're talking about. So if you have any questions for us, for Shaheed, please feel free. And if you have a comment that you want to make as the host, because we are usually here every Tuesday to kind of share this information with our listening audience and our learners to get a better understanding on why we are thinking the way we're thinking, why are we acting the way we are, and what happened to us. You know, it's not what's wrong with us. Something happened. So that's what we're trying to address tonight. For those of you who just came on late, we're talking about the state of the African-American community. Why are we still that we find ourselves in right now? Why we don't have the power of self-knowledge? Why can't we be who we're supposed to be? And I think Shaheed Abdul make it very plain. If you can't see it, you can't be it, you know. And that's one of the historical aspects of things. Our lives in this country is full of beautiful history, full of power. But someone put us in a situation and they denied us the education that we need. And we're kind of sharing it with you today on why we're thinking the way you think. Brother Shaheed, feel free, man. You got something
yes.
to say on that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, Brother brought out some very good points. And I think that we have to sort of shake our information and sort of pick out and pick out the gems that really afford us and really define us. We had a lot in the history of the African people that we can sort of lean on in this beautiful history. We don't want to create a condition to think that any part of the African-American African history that is negative. You would go all through those stories, you would find great achievements. But what we would just like to make an emphasis on is that we don't have to go back that far. We don't have to go back that far. And this is what the European-American is afraid of and what he doesn't really want. He doesn't want us to go back to all of the things that's in our situation in America and use that as the basis of our inspiration, because there's so many things, it's almost unbelievable, because what they have kept from us, They pouring out information now about Egypt and all those other places to distract us. They distracted us from just you just look over your shoulder and you see greatness. You don't have to look all the way back that far in history, but just look over your shoulder and you will see greatness in America. He mentioned Benjamin Banneker. Now he laid the layout for Washington D.C. We studied stars, the circuit, the how the you know, remember, you talk about food a lot. You talk about how to grow food. Well, it's because the Africans studied the stars, studied the difference in terms of how the stars move from one place to another. When was the time to plant food? When was it not time to plant food? We taught the European that science America. We had that science. And not only that, you remember Harriet Tubman? To show you how our language, how we use those, how we use those things for direction and put it into our language. We created a language while we were here in America too, by the way, called the Gitche language. Now, in that language, they talked about the gourd, drink from the gourd. Now, that was code language in Harriet Tubman's time, because that would tell the people the direction to go, because it was the Big Dipper. The Big Dipper, you're talking about the gourd, the drink out the gourd. It was the Big Dipper, and it pointed the direction on which the people had to travel at night, because they had to travel at night because they couldn't travel in the daytime because the slave traders and would just, you know, kill them and pull them down. But they traveled at night, and they used the stars as direction. And our people need to know what we did in America, how we had this great mentality. Let me just say this. You know, you ever hear Jiminy Greek?
Yeah, sure.
Brother Rashid, you ever hear Jiminy Greek?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jiminy Greek. Jiminy Greek was a European-American. He was a Greek. He was a European-American who grew up in a mixed community with African-Americans and European-Americans in a poor sort of situation. He grew to be a sports commentator for the NFL. He was making pretty good money. He was a gambler. He was a gambler by profession, called the odds and of the different games. He would say this team would win because another one is sick or another one. He placed the odds. He was the first one to start doing that in NFL. Now, Jiminy Greek was at a party after party. After they get off from work and they go to the bar or the hotel down to the on the first floor, wherever they had it. And they would just all laugh and talk and have fun, have a good time drinking. One of the reporters asked Jiminy Greek. Now, this is back in 1968 now. We're talking about 68. One of the reporters asked Jiminy Greek. He said, do you think they're ever going to make, they use the term black, do you think they're ever going to make black people coaches and managers in the NFL? Jiminy Greek said, well, if we make them coaches and managers, then there won't be any place for white people because the white guy can't do as well as the black guy in the sports because the black guy has been bred to be stronger, to be bigger, to be faster. So he can never have a job if the black guy becomes the coach too. Now, Jiminy Greek was just speaking his words and speaking his mind. Like most Europeans probably think, and that's the way they come up with their concept on giving their explanation of why we are faster and stronger and bigger. Now, next day, Jiminy Greek was fired because they presented it as, they said it was a racist statement because he said that the black people were athletes because they was bred. Now, in Jiminy Greek's definition and retort to the person's question, he never said African Americans were inferior intellectually or any other kind of way. He didn't use that. He didn't even mention that. But because African Americans didn't understand or know the process that Jiminy Greek was talking about, they insisted that's what he was implying. Yeah, they're just saying that we can play football, but we are not smart.
Right.
You see, that's self-incriminating negative thinking on our own part. Not on Jiminy Greek's part, on our own part, because we thought there was meaning in that. But if we had looked at that history, we had looked at that history and what it represented, we would have found there was a breeding process that took place. when England made in 1885, when they made slave trading illegal and no more slaves to be brought to America, they still had to use slaves because the slaves had to be breaded and so they could make money from that. They could make money from that, and that money then would help them, 1816 about. That money then would help them to be richer because they would have slaves of their own. They wouldn't have to get slaves from Africa anymore. But what that did, it set up something that they don't like to talk about, the breeding process. What is it in the breeding process that has an impact on life? In the breeding process, the genes gravitate to the strength of genes. When you read the reports on genetic breeding, on selective breeding, you will find that the genes become stronger when they do that. It becomes stronger not only in terms of physically for the physical body, it's the whole physical body, meaning the brain. The brain also develops its strength, and the brain becomes an instrument that coordinates much quicker and much better. And they found that African babies grow faster than European babies in terms of their motor skills. And they also found that the genes of the African is unique. Henrietta Lacks. Look up Henrietta Lacks. She had cancer. African-American. They took her cell. They examined it. They found that cell was different than any other cell that they found. They was examining and trying to bring life into existence. They found that they could use that cell, and it's still out there. It is a cell that, like they would say, never died in the system of being used that the European used it to make other things. That's how the polio was cured by Henrietta Lacks. Other cures came from the Henrietta Lacks journey. They called it the healer cell. Come from the African American, part of that breeding process. You see, the key is, if we knew our history, we would learn why we run faster. We will learn why we jump higher, and we will learn why we invent things. They don't tell us about all the inventions come from the brain. They come from the brain and how we see this whole idea of putting things together. The inventing of even the cell phone we're using, all of that, African-Americans at the base of it. And we only talk about 13% of the population in that sense. See, if we knew the collective understanding of who the African American is and what we can be, we wouldn't even spend no time wasting it about someone else think we are that and think we are this. We would take what we are and go forward in the future and build a society and future that never was seen before, even bigger than Egypt, because our foreparents did that here. They did it here, but they don't want to tell us that, because then we would get up and do something. We would be inspired to build and develop as a people, not individual, but as a people. That's a big difference. Right now we got about six billionaires. What if we had 70 billionaires? Look what that would do to the economy of the African-American people alone. This is so impacting. The European-American is doing everything he can to distort the idea and concept of African-American people embracing their culture and living the life that it was given and created into. But that's all I wanted to say about that particular statement.
Okay. Yeah, let me get back to some of our callers. We have some hands raised here, some people online who want to ask a question. But I was referring to Abdul Shaheed, who is my host. I know he has something to say. I do have several hands that are raised in the studio, and I have four questions from the internet. And Abdul Shaheed, just give us your viewpoint on what's taking place right now, what you feel. And I know there's a lot of things taking place, and we do have 601-376. Your hand is raised. I'm going to get right back to you. We're going to give Abdul Shaheed an opportunity to speak. And we said a lot. So I'll let you
absolutely
share. Go ahead, my good brother. Okay.
Yeah, we like to commend our brother Shaheed Abdullah for his books, and also for sharing with us this evening. And I want to bring out a point that he focused on, and that point was the time that our people were isolated, so to speak. They were segregated. But that's when they made their best accomplishment, when they were segregated. I want him to share with us what he thinks that ignited that growth and creativity during that separation time from the Caucasian people.
Well,
you know, 1896 to 1932, that was growth mode.
Hang on to that, so we got people.
What ignited?
I want to get to the folks. I need to get to the people who have their hand raised. Okay, I know you guys are excited.
Okay.
I know this is exciting.
Yeah, you can make it brief.
Yeah.
What ignited that was a natural inclination in all human beings, which is a winning attitude. Everybody, if they're left alone as a people, they begin to develop that attitude. And that's what happened. They left us alone.
Yes. Okay. That's a key point. And there again, it goes back to testimony about the genes, what's in the genes.
Mm-hmm.
All a person has
to do
is make use of it, necessity and spontaneity. Necessity is the mother of all invention, as well as spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
If the person is left alone to their own devices, they will create what they need to create to make progress. That's something that we need to keep in the forefront of our children, the necessity and spontaneity. That's what held us back. Integration was a dismantling of our own creativity. That's what happened.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Okay. So we're going to take 601. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. 601-376. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open. 601-376.
Yes, sir. This is Daryl Muhammad. And I just basically just tuned in, inshallah. And someone had sent a text to my phone. So, I mean, I don't have no problem with it, but I do enjoying what I'm hearing since I've been on here. So I just want to acknowledge whoever sent this to the phone that you didn't do anything wrong. I'm glad that I'm here and I'm hearing some good information. I thank Allah for me being here. So,
yes, sir. Thank you for sharing this,
Brother Daryl Muhammad.
Yes, sir. But I want to say one thing that I did here.
Feel free.
It was that it's about, you said something about our people. Our people are, I'm thinking from what I hear, and why they're in the situation that they are in at the present time, from what I'm understanding. And if that's what I heard, if that's what we're talking about, I will say this, that we all know that Allah said that he's not going to change the people till the people change within themselves.
Yes.
And if you look at the whole big picture, I mean, look at it real big, you would know that we have a lot to do to change within ourselves before Allah begins to change.
Yes.
Right.
Our people have been, I heard that you said our people have been tricked, our people have been, now, yes, we have been tricked, man. We've been given this education. We have been given a lot of things that's not benefiting us, but then, better yet, they're getting the benefit from us, if you know what I'm saying. So, inshallah, I just want to let you know that I'm glad to be here, and keep me in tune, you know. I'm always open,
well,
you know. Just keep me in tune, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
This is the science of health in you, and we're always talking about how to understand the science of who we are, what we are, some of the problems that we have physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually as well. So it all has to do with the show. So we thank you for sharing what you shared and look forward to hearing from you again.
Yes, sir. Inshallah.
So push one on your phone so you can get out of the queue. And I have another person in the queue right now, 949-689. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. The mic is open.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Melvin calling out of Monroe, Georgia.
How you doing, man?
Yes. I'm good. Thank you. And but I just wanted to kind of, you know, say, you know, what the brother had mentioned earlier, that we have stuff very close. You know, we don't have to go far back in the history, as you were saying, that we have stuff right here that we could reach back and to draw from. And what brought it to my mind was you know, I was born in 1960, and when I came to California, when I went to California, I was like 32. And so a few years after I was there, I had a chance to see a movie that I had never, didn't even know existed, and that's that movie Stormy Weather. Now, I'm a musician, so when I saw this movie, I didn't know that we had ever produced anything like that. And mm-hmm. that, and mm-hmm. I had seen Cab Calloway as a kid, but I didn't know him. I just saw him as an mm-hmm. old man. But then when I saw mm-hmm. that movie and Bojangles and all, and Lena Horne and all those people that were, and that production, it just blew me away, and it showed me what I didn't have to draw from to work on my personal craft, whatever. Just as an entertainer, I didn't have that. I was like, wow, we did so much, mm-hmm. and I had never seen mm-hmm. that. So what you were saying, we weren't left alone. As, you know, they would put things in our way to keep us from drawing from our own, you know, what was draw from ourselves.
Yes,
yes, right. Absolutely. Yes. So I found that to be a big, big, big thing. Like he was saying, the problem was we were not. It wasn't just we had the problem that what happened to us, but then
yeah,
after that, we weren't even left alone after that. And had we been left alone, like you said, throughout segregation and those sorts of things, we would have grown. I also wanted to say that I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of times this is so that the secrets of oppression are kept down so that the rest of the world can draw from our experience. So they're not only keeping it from us, they're keeping it from the world because they want to be able to do this to other folks. If they can't do it mm-hmm. to us, they shift it to someone else. So I think that this is we're in an especially unique situation. And that Allah's with us. And I just wanted to thank you for mentioning those events that I didn't know about in the past. And alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. And I just want to keep the conversation going. So thank you for taking my call.
We sure appreciate you sharing. Please press one on your phone so you can.
Hey, brother, I'm sorry. Can I just say, I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah,
I'm
please,
sorry.
Go
I, just,
ahead,
listen, I meant to
go
say
ahead,
was that the, as a musician, another very interesting contribution that we made, the gospel musician. These guys are phenomenal. As a musician myself, just a regular mainstream musician, I'm telling you, the bass players, the singers, the keyboard players, the drummers are truly in a class of their own, and everyone trips bugs out on their abilities and how they come up with these, they put together and those different notes that they put together. We're like, wow, where did they come up with that? So that's another thing. I forgot to say that first, too.
Brother Rashid, could I just make one point to the brother?
Go ahead.
Brother Rashid, did I ever make
Go
one
ahead.
Point to the brother?
Go
the,
ahead.
There's the about 5 years ago, they did a study on the right side of the brain, and they was looking at mathematics, and they saw that mathematics could be developed quickly on the right side of the brain. That's where the patterns come from. And they also did a correlation between music and mathematics. They're developed in the same area. So what you saw developing was the mathematical genius that was being transformed into notes and music of African-American people. See, they don't like to tell you that because they don't want you to know that's mathematics. All the formulas you see, algebra, trigonometry, comes from that area. And music encourages that area. That's why some people, when they get in these comas and things of that nature, they can be brought out of by music because it develops that part of the brain. So you saw for yourself the impact this having, that the African-Americans having in the world, because we don't copy other people's music. We create the music. They copy us.
All right.
Thank you so much, my brother.
All right, brother Melvin. Thank you so much for calling, man. Thank you for sharing, okay? You may press one on your phone.
You.
If you want to come back and ask another question, just you can press one again and come back. We do have a couple more lines going. We still haven't answered people on the Internet. I know it's getting good. Because, you know, this is about the state of the African-American community. Now, we're trying to frame this foundationally so we can begin to grow and develop. And for those of you who really want a good feel for what's going on tonight, pick up the book, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. It is an outstanding piece of reading material. and some things that he's talking about, you'll be able to understand a lot better when you have this foundation, this thinking process, this resource in this book that can make things better. So we're going to take another caller here. We have 313-321-917. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Yes, DeLacy Umar, Melbourne, Florida. Thanks so much for the wonderful programming. You have the doctor of health and the doctor of the mind there tonight. So
we got
Brother Shahid with that wonderful presentation you were doing. And I just wanted to highlight something that you said and to bring out the importance of it. And that was to hide information from a people to keep them uninspired. And then knowing who you are and knowing your capabilities is inspirational. And, you know, and Brother Shahid came right back with the idea of ingenuity and spontaneity, you know, and how these things get progress done. And this is something that I've been working on in the last few months, really, and before, really most of my life, trying to inspire my children, my friends, my young people that I interact with to be inspired to accomplish and be motivated to get something done. So that I think deserves to be highlighted, that we were denied our history to keep us uninspired. And I think in knowing who we are and the accomplishments we made, as you mentioned, will create more spontaneity and inspiration in our group concept, our cultural concept. Thank you so much for the program. I'd actually call in to ask Abdul Shahid about the kidney. I'm getting a lot of other benefits here. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. But Brother Umar, make sure you share with us. You're on our sister station, American 360, as Shahid out.
On Saturday. And you know, and I've been working on this concept, Brother Shahid, about a sacred unity. A sacred unity, how we need to see our associations as sacred.
Absolutely.
And get the best out of our group mind, group concept, group ability. And you, as you mentioned, we only need to look a little ways back to find inspiration.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this sacred unity, we got to really get back to seeing ourselves as in a group picture and see it as a sacred obligation on us. So on Saturdays at 10 a.m. 11, we do a program called Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Thanks so much for your program tonight, Brother Rashid.
Yes, sir. And make sure
thank you, Brother. I appreciate those comments. Thank you.
Okay. Excellent. So thank you so much. Press 1 on your phone. If you have another comment, please, you can press 1 and come back in. Anyone else who may have a comment or something that you want to say, please press 1 on your phone so we can get your. Hey, we got one right here. Hang on,
Brother Rashid. For the next question, let me just mention about on that sacred talking about that.
Yes,
that sacred has already been put in place, and what you that culture is the sacred thread that pulls people together, and all we have to do is embrace that culture, and we would automatically come together. This is what they don't want us to do: to embrace our culture. Once we embrace our culture, we don't have to talk about unity. We don't have to talk about let's get together. We don't have to talk like that. We just do what we do because the culture will bring us together and set us like a keg of dynamite ready to explode into the future. The culture will do that.
Okay. Now, so you're uncovering the scheme. That's what it's all about, right? Uncovering the scheme, preventing the evolution of the African-American culture. That's what we're talking about. Let me say this one piece real quick in the book. You know, it says, not just the greatness of Timbuktu, has there been any descendants from Africa who stood in such a tremendous position as the African-American culture in America. We're going to have to get this established. We're going to have to work on this. That's why we're doing. And we're going to stay with this mental health because until our brains are functioning
absolutely
right, until our bodies are functioning right, nothing's going to happen. You know, we can talk all we want, but if our ability to be integrated and interrelated, it's not working together, it's going to keep us separated. That's what we're trying to avoid. They've done a good job. That's why we uncovered the scheme. The emperor has his clothes off, y'all. So all we got to do is do what we got to do, get our foundation in order, and we'll be there. So we have 314-305. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Donna, and I'm calling you from St. Louis, Missouri.
All right.
Yes, sir. I have a two-part question, and then I'm going to get off the air because I want you gentlemen to help us out with this. I want you, if this is true, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we are the only people who send our children to the enemy for an education. And I would also, if you could confirm that, and then I would like you gentlemen to speak on how important it is that we as African-American parents educate our own children. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you so much, Don, for calling.
That's a powerful question.
So we'll let both of you guys handle it. We'll start off with Shaheed first, and we'll let Shaheed Abdullah second. Go ahead.
Yes.
I'll press one on your phone. Go ahead.
Yeah, the sister mentioned a very powerful question, why we do not educate our own. That is the problem. Our children is our future, and we don't educate them. Somebody else is going to do it. And this is what's been happening. That's why they work against us. We're not educating them. The Almighty placed everything within inside of us to educate our children. We don't have to be professional or anything. The parents are responsible for educating the children. The parents are responsible. What we have to do is simply take full responsibility for our own action. Once we do that, our gene will work in our behalf. Our gene are immortal. They cannot be corrupted. And everything we need to do is already inside of us. We just need to be able to tap into it. And the brother with the music mentioned frequency. Everything is reduced to vibration. Everything inside our genes. That's where the secret is. And all we have to do is be able to tap into that. But we can't do it if our health is falling apart, if our brain is falling apart. So we have to optimize our health by producing neurotransmitters, neurochemical, neurons, enzyme, and all of these things. Because our mind and our brain, they are the tools to make all the progress we need to make. They are our tools. Now we need to be able to access the tool, make use of it. That's our brain. So we need to know about health. It's imperative that we know about health. We have everything we need to educate our own. That is the problem right there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much for a powerful answer.
The answer to the question, she said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he said to any other people, get the enemy their children to be educated, and the answer to that is yes. And the reason, and those people are extinct. All the people who gave their children to be educated by the European are extinct. They're extinct. They don't exist anymore. You go through all of this was one of the schemes that they used to do during early colonial time. They wouldn't let the Native American educate his own child. They forced him to come to the European school. And the European set up special schools that were designed to take the cultural aspect of the Native American out of his thinking, out of his sight. And then later they would blend it into the society so much so that the only place you see them now is in a museum.
Yes.
They are extinct. We can't let them educate our own children anymore. We, in areas where we have the greater number, public schools, if we have the African Americans have the greater number, they need to take charge of their schools. Make sure their children are given an effective education as well as cognitive. We need to know, they need to know that they are part of the growth that they produce in America and the world. And they need to know that spontaneity that's in them to do that.
It's already
and
there.
European people are not going to do that. You know, I had a brother who looked at the book, Uncovering the Scheme, and he said, you know something, brother? I can think back because he gave me his age, And he said, I'm out the South. When I was going to school, we didn't have the best of everything, but we were taught better than we'd be taught. When I came to the North and mixing with these integrated schools, he said, I wasn't taught anything. He said, but when I was back there, we had less books, less everything, but the teachers was teaching us better. That's the difference. Self-education is the strongest of education.
That's a powerful statement. We have another hand that was raised here, and where did they go? Oh. Well, I think they put it back up again. I got so many people on the board. I got to go up and down to get them. But here we go. That is first. 314-319. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Hi, this is DeWine. I'm calling from Belleville, Illinois. I'm a student at the MOCAN program that Rashid teaches, and I wanted to ask a question piggybacking off of what the lady just asked. In a society where we're operating in the enemy's economy, we have to survive off their money. So how do we go about enforcing or going about getting the education for our youth that we have to give them ourselves? Like, I understand you said taking over the schools, but in a society where parents have to make money to survive, how do we go about doing that?
It's done by votes. In areas where you have the greater vote, you need to exercise that. We need to stop sitting back and let other people take it and do with what they want and miseducate us.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, if you have a school that's down and 60% or 70% of African Americans, and they've already done studies in California and other places that say African American or any cultural group is stronger as a student when they have when they're being taught culturally speaking. They give a program that talks about their culture as well as the other courses necessary. They score better. They do better. They know that. So all we would be doing, if we do that in our schools, would be improving them. We have to get our people to see that we're talking about improving the school system by giving the African Americans the kind of education they need to advance themselves. Just imagine 80% of a school system being elite, being great. You can't hardly beat them. So this is what we would be glad to try to implement, but we have to do it in those areas in the vote. In the other areas, we do it the same as other people did it. To the Jewish people, they don't let this happen. They form their own schools, after schools, weekend schools, until they get strong enough to build a separate school, because they know you cannot educate your children properly in the public school. They know it can't happen, because that school is set up to kill the mentality and drive of a people other than European Americans.
That was the thing.
Homeschooling.
Homeschooling is another process.
Real powerful is this. You know, and once we take care of ourselves and take care of our families, get involved in our neighborhood, we can do weekend schools. You know, even though we have to, under the circumstances, allow our children to go to European school, but we can't even get together and walk down the street and make a right turn together. So we have to begin to establish community life, home life. And as I read a few statistics, you know, 64% of the women in this country are raising children by themselves, and these women have to go to work and support themselves. They feed those children bad food. They send them to school with honey buns and Cheetos and things of that nature. So this dysfunctionality in our community life, we can never build community life until we build individual life. And then you can start with the weekend school. Then you can start with expanding, getting involved in the politics. Here we go again. We're not involved in politics in our community. We don't even know who our city council aldermen are. We don't even know what district we're in. So I don't want to sound negative about this. We just have some work to do. But we got to work on ourselves first before we can get the work done. You can't be what you can't see. So if we don't see it, you can't be it. You know. So these are things that we really have to pay attention to. And as you mentioned, Elijah Muhammad, he made this statement. We don't know who we are, nor do we know where we came from, and we certainly have no idea of where we're going. So that's important. You got to know who you are. How you going to get there? Why you want to get there? These are questions we have to ask. This is why we're doing this show, and we're hoping and praying that all of you begin to continue this conversation within your home, within your own personal life. Continue this conversation, and we'll be back here again next Tuesday and the Tuesday after that, and we're going to cover this mental disability. We're going to cover this mental deficiency, physical, our emotional. These are disabilities, and they're all health-related. You know, health is economic health. So economics is a healthy. You're going, I'm gonna give me a financial plan. Well, if you're unhealthy, you're not gonna have no financial plan. You know, so we always talk about these things, but we have to stop and begin to take care of ourselves first, get ourselves in order, deal with our family. And we're working with the prison reentry situation. It's a big job, but it's simple to do if you organize and structure and put things together like a brother. Shahid is doing with, you know, saving SOS programs, strategies, community-based organization, getting involved in your community.
That's right.
Knowing who your neighborhood association is. Know who your aldermen are.
That's right.
Know who your school people are. Mm-hmm. If you don't know anything, you're not going to do anything. So this is why this show
exists.
Right. And we're just excited, ladies and gentlemen. Don't think that we're getting coming down on anybody. We're just talking about we're calling the alarm. There's an emergency. We are in a war, and we got to have some weapons. And what we're doing tonight is weaponizing everyone, okay, to do something about your life.
And
so, go ahead, Bob.
Before we go on that, brother, we need to look all across the country and start forming an organization called the Association for Community Planning. That's an idea and a concept. It's made up of all the different organizations in any town or any city we live in. We have a lot of different organizations in that city, the African-American. We could take one person from each of those groups and make one Association for Community Planning in that area. And that then they look out for the benefits and the goals for the whole group. Process was used by Moses. Moses' father, Jethro wasn't his father, but he was his father-in-law. And Moses was trying to tell the people what to do. He was getting worn out. He couldn't get to all of them. There's hundreds of them. So Jethro told him, you got to use a process of distributing power. And he said, you just get the 12 chiefs of the tribes together and give them the information and let them go back to their people and disperse it. See, we need to employ that kind of process. We need to take the different groups. We got many groups in these different towns. Bring get one person from each of these groups and form an association for community planning. And then they report back to each group. And this, when they come up with ideas, they'd be more collective and have a greater impact on the goals and objectives they're trying to reach. We're trying to encourage that kind of thinking across the country.
Yes, sir. Yvonne, did you get your question answered? Do you have anything else you wanted to say? Was your question answered efficiently, sufficiently? Okay. Now we have another hand raised here. I know this is from a previous call, so this is 317-709. Our brother who was super excited. He was excited in the night. He wanted to tell us the whole story. Do you have anything you want to say, my good brother? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
I know if you had your hand raised again.
Yes, sir. Brother Dennis, once again, and I'm going to relate to what your brother just said about 12 months in a year. Each month we should have a Black History Month. Now listen.
Come on with it.
If we bring society back to a new society, remember, we were considered not real people, but society now is the Black Wall Street. If you want to educate your children, remember, do for self, have Black universities. Remember, all these churches are door-to-door, but where is the foundation and where is the money when they go back with the money in the European bank? They're not giving back to the community. Remember, if you go to a Black Wall Street bank, most churches have billions of money coming in on Sunday, 10% of the collected members' money. But why do they take it to the European bank where there's no Black banks and they're not loaning money? Ministers, the trustees should give the money back to the church members because, number one, God don't need their money. See, if they build a structure in the university, in the churches, the doors should be open, not just on Sundays. Build a foundation for community activists and also a foundation where you know your councilman, you got you're patrolling your own neighborhood. And remember, if you control your own environment, you grow your own, you control your people. Peace.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Jackson. You know, you're talking to a banker, so I'm a banker, so I know what you're talking about. And if,
yes,
this is why, I don't know if he was on in the beginning, we're not using black anymore. Black is
African-American.
So what we do, we call it the African-American Heritage New Year. So you're right on point with every single month. It's something we should be celebrating, something we should be doing, something we should be organizing, something we should be structuring. And that's what Shahid Abdul was talking about by participating in our community life. We have to design that program. And Brother Shahid got something now. He ain't told you about that one yet, but I'll get that information to those who want to continue
listen. Once I say this, in this city I'm in, Indianapolis, Indiana, 1991, I started African American Alumni Association.
Okay.
1991. It is consisted of a high school we went to is no longer existed. African American Alumni Association is a positive group of people. We were all forced to go there through the UNIGOV system through Governor Luger. Now, African American Alumni Association is not, it's not LLC yet. It's not document with sororities and fraternities, but I'm working on that. Because I was the president. I was a nominee just like Harry Tuchman, one of my classmates.
Mm-hmm.
He found out
right.
that the Ukraine said they couldn't find us. And from then, we started our own organization, own committee, and we've been going strong since then. But now we want
right.
to put them in action. But we don't have to wait for Steve Harvey to come for a challenge show. We get to Wall Street. That's a good walk. We'll leave it at that. I saw my later.
Okay. Brother Dennis, I got your phone number here, and I want you to know my number is 650-669-0458. I need to talk to you because we need to have a conversation, okay?
Yeah.
All right, my good brother. Thank you so much for sharing. We appreciate you. So we have a 949-689. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Wait a minute. That'll be your mic. Here you go. All right.
Yeah.
949-689. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, this Brother Melvin, I have a question. Is it possible, how difficult would it be for us to come up with, and I'm saying this because of our diversity as a community, you know, we have Muslims, Christians, maybe even some Jews and others.
Sure.
And how difficult would it be for us to come up with a uniform supplementary kind of curriculum that can be in any one of our communities at any time that would help us shore us up in the sense to at least keep us from falling into the major pitfalls that are hurting our community the most, you know, maybe the drugs or whatever, the violence and the drugs and those emotional things that really keep us from learning properly and benefiting from education. How difficult do you think that would be to come up with a curriculum, a standardized curriculum that everyone could accept that may be different? I know that sounds kind of crazy,
Actually, it wouldn't be as difficult. It wouldn't be as difficult as it seemed because myself and some others, but myself in particular, have already created the foundation for a curriculum to do just that. You don't have to be Jew, Christian, or Muslim, or anything. All you have to be is an African American who came through the same experiences that we all came through, either during that time of colonialism and the mixture of the people and how we came out and through this segregation, all of that, that's the African-American people. We want to look at the African-American people as a culture rather than separate ourselves. We've gotten to the point now where we can either talk about religion in such a way we are intelligent enough to talk about it. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about these other things that would draw us away from each other. All we have to do is start embracing our culture. Where did our foreparents start calling themselves African American? We need to know that and understand why they did that, and then we need to embrace that. Where did we get our language? We created a language down in the Sea Islands. We created the Geechee language. Nowhere else on the planet was this language being spoken, and it was being spoken because the Africans down there in that time had to figure out a way to talk and plan their way of getting off the plantation without the European plantation owners understanding them. So they used English as a cover language. They mixed Arabic with it, and they mixed the different tribal languages with it and Native American language with it. And it became a new language called Geechee. And it's taught in Harvard right now. It's taught in Harvard University and part of Harvard University's African-American study course. And we should be teaching it in all our schools. some of our people still use this, the Geechee language in the South, especially down there in Atlanta and down there in Georgia and South Carolina. They teach, still teach this and talk it. We have to be able to, this is the language they use to spread themselves across America, you know. If you look back, especially the brothers come from different areas of the country, just look back how your parents used to talk. They used to use Geechee language. I would go venture as far as, you remember how your people used to say, you're going to, boy, you fitting to get in trouble? You fitting to do trouble? That is an Arabic word that comes from the Quran called fitna, means trouble. And our people put it in that language, and it's all across the country. And not only that, but you listen to the people talking, they say, why don't you talk straight English? Because they have gotten used to talking another language, which is called Geechee.
Right.
And we need to embrace our language. Spanish people don't use it. They've been here for 20, 30 years and still speaking Spanish. You think they never heard an English word before? Because they know the importance of holding on to their language as an identification. And they know the importance of, that's why they don't encourage us to do it. They don't, they made fun of it. They, oh, that's bad English. No, it's not. It's a new language. It's the new language. It's been deemed a new language. And it's not Geechee. It's not, what do you call it? Creole. It's not Creole. Creole is French. Listen to the word. It's a French word, Creole. This is not a French word. This is the foundation of it is English, but then it's taken apart and made into a new language. In the same way the Jews invented Yiddish. The Jews invented Yiddish when it was in Europe and Germany, and they had to figure out a way to speak the language around the Germans so the Germans could understand. And they created that language that sounds like German from they did a little bit of, they had the Hebrew in it, they had a little bit of Aramaic in it, and they had German in it. And it's a new language. Jews speak Yiddish. They don't speak German, they speak Yiddish. I mean, they speak any language in the country, but their language is Yiddish. They claim the language is Yiddish and Hebrew. Those are two basic languages they as their original language. Ours is Geechee. We speak English too, because English was our base language here. But our language, that we originated, and our parents originated, was Geechee. We have to get have to embrace that. It's called Gullah Geechee. Gullah Geechee, and they did it with the actually Allah, God blessed those people in that time to be able to do that because of the circumstances that permitted it. But that's the main thing we have to do is start embracing our culture. We start embracing our culture. We want to be talking about this. 10 years from now, we want to be talking about this.
Okay.
Can I briefly just say that one of the problems in the Spanish community, I'm sorry, one of the problems in the Spanish community is they have a new organism in their community called Cholos. So that's another community, and they're not so proud of speaking Spanish, you know, as they should be, but they're the ones who have kind of got swept up in this American culture. But my one question I want to ask is, but how you can't really go into it, but how will we address these cultural problems? Because these cultural influences that are not halal that really are hurting, you know, our community as well as others, you know. So, and how would that, you know, how would that be addressed? Because that's where our kids are getting swept up, you know, in the music and the different portrayals and stuff that we don't agree with, you know, that causes trouble. Is that also part of the curriculum? Mm-hmm.
Yes, hard to measure that because we're not comparing it to anything. Once we embrace our own culture, then we have something to hold other stuff off of us. But if we don't have no culture, then we're just taking what's dished to us. And our children are learning what's out there. They're not comparing it to their own culture because they don't really have a culture that they can claim their own. And if they can't claim a culture of their own, then they respond to what is being given to them. It's not their fault. It's the natural behavior of the human being.
Right. No, I'm not blaming the children. I'm saying how do we address it because it's pretty.
He answered that earlier. Mm-hmm. The brother said about how we got to reshape our thinking and our genetic makeup and all of that. We have to take it. Mm-hmm. We have to do it. We have to physically do this. It's not going to be a wish thing. It's not going to be a magic wand deal. No, we got to make a real effort to bring our culture, bring our language, bring who we are and start calling ourselves African-American rather than black, get away from those color terminologies, because it's
absolutely
racist. Every time you say black, there's no way you can't think that you're a superior. You got to think you're inferior, because you was created by the European Americans to think that black is opposite to white and white is special privilege. It's just that simple. Just that simple. It's not even a debate. They make it confusing, but they know it's very simple. They created that word to give themselves, or give a group among themselves, to make them think. It was done as a crank. It was done as a prank. It was done as a game on the European American colony, because they still look on the British still look on European Americans as a underclass. They look at them. They look at them snobbishly. They look down their nose at America, because they know they created that attitude. They created that attitude to make them think they was British when they're not British. Okay. But they make them think. They say, "Well, you got better chance here than the African. The African can't carry a gun. You can. African can't marry anybody. You can. African can't vote. You can. So you a lot like us." A trick they played on them. It was a scheme. And they still buy into it.
Okay. Brother Melvin, we want to thank you so much for the question. And then we have Melvin and Dennis, and you have Brother Shahid Abdullah, myself, and Abdul Shahid. You know, we just need to communicate with each other, begin to expand this process. Even though we have a foundation, it's a seed that we're laying. We can always embellish it. We can always grow it and develop it as we move forward. But we got to start with something, as my brother said. We don't have much time. You know, we're losing our children on a regular basis through murders. We're losing our children through miseducation, disinformation. We're losing our kids. They don't even want to get married anymore. They're so subjected to all the ignorance that's taking place in this world. And this is overwhelming. You have our young people committing suicide because they can't take this stuff. You know, their brains are not functional. They're exposed to television. They're exposed to the internet. They're exposed to all different types of things. More importantly, they exposed to bad diets, bad mental health, bad air. I mean, it's so much for you, and you wonder why these young, undeveloped minds are committing suicide. Well, I can see it happening. So we just have to get busy. You know, they call us OGs, but guess what? We better do something, but we can't do anything. You know what I'm saying? So, Melvin, thank you so much for sharing, man.
Thank you.
And if you have our number, if you want to call and just have a conversation, you know, we can get a chance to begin to plan what we need to do. It doesn't take a whole lot. It's a small band of us. That's all it takes. It's a small band. Our book tells us that. Let us stand before our small bands to stand up what's right, put down what is wrong. It doesn't take long. Jesus was by himself. Martin Luther King was by himself. Everybody was by themselves when they started this thing. So we're right now, we have the ability to function in a way, a collaborative way, and that's what we're working on. That's why we do this show. It's the science of health.
Absolutely.
Health is, I mean, it's a rabbit hole so deep, it just blows your mind. Then you, as an individual, that's a series of you know, those things go, we are mathematical and scientific equations. That's what we tell our children. I don't like science. You can't help but like science because you are science. You are math.
You are science. That's right.
Your whole body, how it functions, it's a mathematical and a scientific equation. It's science. You are science. Talking to our children like this, man, it's going to make a difference. We start exposing our children to culture identity. It's going to make a difference, but we have to start somewhere. And this is what we're trying to do. Me, myself, and Abdul Shahid, we're just trying to, man, just bring it. Bring it with what we got, the best we got. It's unfiltered truth. You can rest assured of that. It will be unfiltered scientific truth.
Okay.
And don't forget to get the books. If you get a chance to get some of those books.
On your closing remarks, we're going to make sure you get a chance to tell everybody about the books. And, in fact, why don't you go ahead and give your closing remarks now. We're a little past the second hour. We got a few minutes left. And, you know, for those of you still on the line, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for allowing us to take a little bit out of your time, out of your day. We passed a little bit after 8 o'clock, but that's okay. We still have a bunch of people on. We got a bunch of people on the Internet. So, Brother Shahid Abdullah, if you can give your closing remarks and then share with us about the book, and we'll go from there. And then we have Abdul Shahid close out after that.
Absolutely. I want to, those of you who are just coming on and haven't been here at the first part of the talk this evening, I presented a question to the listeners about some numbers I had given out in terms of what impact that would have on the African-American and it was called the sub-replacement fertility rate. The sub-replacement fertility rate is a rate of is a 2.15. That's the sub-replacement fertility rate. That means that every culture, every race, have to produce children. Females have to have at least 2.15 children during her lifetime that reaches age of 15. Unless, if they don't follow along that track that we just talked about the Native American becoming extinct. This is how things become extinct in terms of human beings. This is why we don't have a lot of different human beings on the planet Earth who are not, could be part of a different race because we are all different, but who disappear. And they don't disappear because of they can't keep up with the death rate outdistance their birth rate. You have Aztec Indians was here in Mexico when the European mm-hmm. got here. It was about 25 million. Now you can might find 3, 2, or 4 million if you find that many. Then on this way I live in Roselle, New Jersey, on this side of they had what they call a Lenape Indian. You went all the way up from Connecticut all the way down to Delaware. And they also call the Delaware there. You can't even find them. You go outside, you won't find none of them because they became extinct. Those numbers that I gave out, one of them represented where the African Americans in 10 years ago was at a rate of just about 2.5 fertility rate. That means we were up very high. But because of all of the things that the brother mentioned a little while ago, how do we get them from drugs and things of that nature, that has come down to 2.5. It has dropped down to 1.89, which means that we mm-hmm. are on the verge of extinction. Now, when you see it, it'll be too late. Most people can't see it now, but if you look at your television, look what's going on. You'll see how these people are using psychology to melt us into the oblivion. You notice that they're breeding up. They started this whole process of integration to integrate with the African Americans so they can get the genetic makeup of the African Americans and at the same time cause the outward appearance of us to disappear, that our hair texture, our eyes, our lips, our nose, and the way we are physically on the outside would disappear, but they would keep some of the internal genetic makeup of us. And they have the women marrying in the African American community, and they have children. And if you notice, the first generation, the child is very light-complected. The next generation, if that child marries a European, the African-American has just disappeared. Just disappeared. That's how close we are to extinction. And it's coming at a high rate now, a very high rate. And that's only one aspect. There are drugs. We have to deal with ourselves in terms of dealing with the LBG community, the people who want to force you to think they are sexual this or sexual that. But you know something? Two men cannot have a baby. Two women That's cannot right. have a baby, which means that everybody in the African-American community who are participating in that as a lifestyle is damaging and actually putting a dagger in the heart of the extinction of the African-American people. We're becoming extinct on all the avenues that you look. If you look on all those avenues, we're becoming extinct. We have to embrace our culture. We have to reverse the process. If we don't reverse this process, they're going to be talking about us the same as we talk about the Native American in museums. In museums. Museums are for the dead, for the living to walk around and look at the dead. They build an African American museum because they're planning for our death. They're planning for our extinction. They're looking for it. They're laughing as we go into the sunset of oblivion. They're laughing now. They feel better now. They're okay, come on in the house. Oh, you can have dinner with us. You can have, they're feeling joy coming to them because they see us becoming extinct. They can see it. They can visually see it, that we're becoming extinct and we don't know it. They got the statistics, the numbers I gave you earlier. But we can do something about it, especially when we start talking about eating properly and we start talking about teaching the culture properly. The African should want to be an African American. We should want to be ourselves, and we should want to mate with ourselves. We should want to build this genetic change that came into the human being through this process that came out of slavery. We should want to retain that and have that as a contribution for the rest of the world in the future. But we have to make an attempt. No, I take that back. We have to do it. Attempt won't get it. We have to do it. We have to do it. We have to make it in our minds to do it. We have to be as determined to do it as Moses did to cross the Red Sea and all these other prophets that came against odds and things of that nature. We have to understand that we are in the brink of becoming extinct unless we do something about it. And the only way we can do that is to embrace our culture. There's no other way out. There's no other door except that door. Progress and send his people into the future if the people are to survive. So with that, I want to thank you very much, brother. I want those people who – I'm going to offer the same package that I offered in the Muslim Journal to the people about all the books I have, the four books, the Spirit of Bilal, the Success is Automatic, Uncovering the Scheme, River of Gold, and the Negro Market. That's a whole package. Brother Rashid will be handling that too. I'm still offering that at $75 because we had to go up on the rate if they get it direct. And if you and you have a special offer yourself, that anybody who offers the get the books through you, you have a special offer even better than that they can get when they buy from you directly. My phone number is 908-296.
Okay, and that package, that's four books along with the Negro Report, which is another. It's like a magazine, but you come up with five pieces of powerful material that is so essential to your development. More importantly, so essential to your children. If you have children in school, students who are in school who belong to the African American student unions, let them know this book got to get in the schools. I'm working on the whole piece now with HBCU schools to get the HBCU libraries to make sure all the schools have this book. It's just so important and so powerful. So thank you so much, my good brother, for your time and your attention. And thank you for sharing. I look forward to talking to you soon. I know we have a lot of things we're doing together. So I'll look forward to getting you back on the show real soon. Abdul Shaheed.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I see. All right.
Yeah, we just we
been
appreciate.
It's been hot, bro. I'm on fire,
yes,
man.
Sir.
I don't know how I'm gonna sleep tonight. So help me out.
Yeah, we just simply say, and of course, we like to share our appreciation with the brother Shaheed Abdullah for sharing with us tonight, and the many bits and pieces of information that he shared. We have to take it seriously. And began to make the adjustment, because that's all we, an intelligent person, need to do, make the adjustment. We have a lot going for us. If we can become health smart and earth smart, then we know exactly what to do. We can create anything we want. All those things inside of us are ready to create whatever education institution we need to create, because the one
mm-hmm.
that we have our children going to now are already outdated. That's
yeah.
why they're bored in school. The school system and the education system right now that's being utilized is outdated. It's going to take people like us to reform them. And we might as well start now, today, with our own children, our own
yes,
grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's where it happened. So it starts
okay.
with our health. We have to develop the best mind and the best brain possible. And we have a
yes.
curriculum already designed to do just that. Once we
okay.
take care of our brain, take care of our mind, everything else is going to fall in place. Scientific
mm-hmm.
eating, scientific cooking, and scientific living on this planet in agreement with the fitra, the pattern
yes,
that the
sir.
Almighty has established. Those same things
mm-hmm.
inside of our genes. All we have to do is tap into it. That's
okay.
all I wanted to say and share. We have
oh.
everything we need, brothers and sisters, to do what we need to do to change our trajectory. It's up to us.
Yeah, I know we're running overtime. I know you're running overtime, ladies and gentlemen. Just hang on just 1 minute, because he didn't give you the information for the website. He didn't give you his phone number on how to reach him, and we can't have that. Okay, so I'm going to open this
right.
My sofa, brother. Take care of yourself.
Yes. Absolutely. Sister and brother, you all going to have to be on the signs are helping you on next week. We have so much information to share. We have so many discoveries that symptomatists have discovered to share with all of us. So we want to direct you to the website. The website is the American School of Symptometry website, not for profit. And it is amsos.org. amsos.org. Please go there. There's two very important articles that have been recently posted on that website. Please go there and check those articles out. Please
now,
do
don't,
that.
Don't cheat. Don't tease us like that. Tell us what one. We got all these men on the telephone. Just give a little glimpse of why the men should make sure they look at the article and be here next Tuesday, okay?
Absolutely. There's an article posted on the website, The Truth About Elevated PSA That All Men Should Know About. Because our people have been taken for a ride. They've been abused and taken advantage of because of elevated PSA. Symptomatists have discovered what causes elevated PSA. You don't have to have surgery. You don't have to have chemotherapy. You don't have to do radiation. None of those options would help the person anyway. They are failures. It's outdated, outmoded. So please go there and read those articles and what the truth about vaccine that every person must know. The truth about vaccine that every person must know. Those two articles is very important for our family to understand. It is in clear-cut language, very simple reading, and you can understand what you must do to take care and protect your own self. Protect our own DNA, Brother Rashid. That's what we have to do. We have to protect our DNA, our cells, our RNA, our chromosome. All these things are inside the cell, in the nucleus of the cell. And that's what we must do. So please go there. And the website is amsos.org. If you have a health need, you want to get down to the root cause of it, please give us a call. 678-572-7269. That number again is 678-572-7269. You may also send us an email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And we have several places that we're speaking during the week, so please check it out. Join us on AM360, Blog Talk Radio, every Monday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can just dial in using one of these two numbers, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Please join us to participate and listen in. A lot of good information on Optimal Health on AM360. Also, you can join us on Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time to Morning Tylene. We share more information about health and how to get our brain and mind back, how to get our health back, how to be empowered to cure every disease that we have. You can dial in with this number, 267-876-3648. And the passcode is 289-2322-pound. The number again is 267-876-3648. And the passcode, 289-2322-pound. That's every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank you very much, Brother Rashid. And we have an excellent program this evening. Excellent program.
Thank you so much. I know we carried over a lot of people and they're leaving the line. I hate that they're missing it because I do know we said from 6 to 8. And unfortunately, we're over time, about 30 minutes over time.
Yes.
So we're going to have some closing remarks. We do have other programs that are on IWDM Radio other than The Science of Health in You. And I have Mark Shaheed. I think he's finally made it in. to the system and let him close us out with letting us know real quickly, Mark. We're dropping like flies, so we're going to make sure we get it in to those who are on so they can get the information. So, Mark Shaheed, our public tribune.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to you, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. And I think good brother Imam Shaheed Abdullah has gone. And I was on a different platform by invitation, but when I dialed a number, I noticed my telephone was smoking, and all. So I immediately put it down so it wouldn't burn my hand. I'll get the review from Rashid Salam. It goes on here on IWDM Radio as tomorrow will be the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Don't want to miss it, you know. Every soul and being accountable for what it earns, that will be the topic tomorrow. And then following that will be the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I will have, inshallah, God willing, Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, and on his outstanding publication, The Man Behind the Men, that's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the focus in this month. On African American Heritage History Month would be none other than our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad. So you don't want to miss that. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Thursday, the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we will be still on the topic, what is marriage? And it wasn't the first idea that you really know that it is that you really are truly are married. That's the topic. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Friday, Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. If you're immobilized, can't get out and about, come back with Imam Mikhail Sayer. It's each and every Friday. That starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central. 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Longest running production, Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer. It's each and every Sunday afternoon starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's High Noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, a new host, Imam Nazim Pasha, with his new production, ABC, that's Al-Islam-based conversation, and it began at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is 4 p.m. Central Standard Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. That's Al-Islam-based conversation. It's an excellent production. Please tune in. And that brings us back to tonight, which is Tuesday, with the very distinguished esteemed host, Rashid Salam, off the returning special assistant, instructor Abdul Shaheed, and also he'll have a special guest, and that is instructor Benjamin Bilal. If you never heard him, you will be in for truly a treat. It will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central, and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Don't forget your Muslim Journal. Make sure you keep your subscription and then see if you can purchase a subscription for a needy person, at least your library where many can read the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Back to you, Rashid Salam.
All right, Mark, thank you so much, my good brother. We appreciate you, and we do appreciate all those who stayed on to hear the final information regarding IWDM Radio. So we look forward to seeing you next week, same time, same place, with more information dedicated to you, empowering you, providing you with the tools and resources you need. But whatever you can't see, you can't be. So we want you to be so you can see. So the power of self. Talking about mental health, the state of the African American community. Make sure you share with your neighbors, your friends, your relatives that there's no longer such a thing as Black History Month. It's been blacked out.
African American Heritage New Year, the Renaissance of Black History Month. My brother Melvin said it best. We should do this every month. We should be celebrating ourselves every 6 months. So with that, we have to know
the children are the future. For today's adults, if you give them knowledge, you get good results from your children. From your children. From your children.
Folks,
alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah.